previously on Dry Powder.
I think private equity is very serious about ESG.
Axel Seaman, one of Bain's leading advisors on ESG strategies, explained how the private equity industry has reached a tipping point on ESG adoption. But as clients shift their questions from the why to the how, they quickly realize that for their particular ESG strategy, there appears to be a shortage of data, a dearth of benchmarks, and a lack of global standards. But that's changing, according to Axel. LPs are demanding transparency and real results. Customers and employees are similarly demanding that companies truly deliver on their ESG goals.
The younger generations are more purpose-driven, and we see changing behaviors already in consumption patterns across generations.
Today on the show, we'll talk about ESG ratings and how the emerging data in this field can make your ESG strategies measurable and ultimately manageable. I'm Hugh MacArthur, head of Bain's Global Private Equity Practice, and this is Dry Powder. So let's start with the definition. Very briefly, could you define what ESG ratings are?
Well, the one-liner is companies are rated on ESG KPIs to inform stakeholders' decision-making. And here we mean specifically investors and B2B customers.
What are some of the benefits and challenges of creating an accurate ESG rating?
The benefits are investors get fairly detailed information about the ESG maturity of a company. And a rated company can compare itself to peers and use the rating as input into ESG development plans. By the way, we use such ratings a lot in our consulting work. Another benefit is that higher ESG ratings allow better access to capital, and investors can de-risk their portfolios. Challenges, on the other hand, are ratings still refer to ESG maturity rather than performance, and ratings are somewhat inconsistent across raters. The R-square is 61% for ESG ratings versus 99% for credit ratings. There are many raters out there with different methodology, which explains some of the ratings deviation.
Now, you've mentioned a number of times during our chat Persephone and EcoVadis. Could you just briefly describe what Persephone is and what EcoVadis is, and then discuss a little bit how EcoVadis deals with these measurement challenges?
So Persephone is a carbon management SaaS tool, which also has a tremendous amount of carbon data and possibilities to approximate data, including carbon scope 3 data, which is often not available from other sources, so that investors can see a baseline of the carbon footprint of that company they are going to invest or they already have invested in and they want to decarbonize. For a private equity firm, Persephone offers a tool where across your portfolio, you would see what is the carbon footprint, what are the key components of it, what are the action possibilities that you can do, and how can you manage it over time? So it would support you in the decarbonization journey. EcoVadis works evidence-based, does not rely on self-populated questionnaires or solely on internet information. EcoVadis has 200-plus sustainability analysts to validate information. In addition, EcoVadis uses third-party inputs like site audits and proprietary databases, uses the company's management systems, and has an AI-based 360 watch that is an automated scan of 100,000 sources of news and information. All of that is factored into the assessment, benchmark, strengths, and improvement outline.
Got it. So EcoVadis comes up with a highly intelligent ESG rating for a business. Can you walk me through how then private equity firms incorporate the EcoVadis ESG ratings into their daily work? How do they actually use them?
Yeah, let's start with due diligence. EcoVadis provides ESG reports for over 100 industries and countries, which are a great source to identify the core ESG topics in a given situation. In our due diligences, we use EcoVadis on an exclusive basis for ESG benchmarking. EcoVadis has rated over 90,000 companies, which provides a great pool of benchmarks. A fund can have its portfolio EcoVadis rated and thereby gets a baseline and clues for ESG development opportunities, portfolio company by portfolio company. EcoVadis provides also a SaaS dashboard to monitor the ESG development of the portfolio. Portfolio companies themselves can improve the ESG profile of their supply chains with EcoVadis. And let me say, ESG supplier ratings are especially important because nobody works in isolation. For example, most companies have sophisticated supply chains, which they need to manage also in terms of ESG. If 80% of your carbon footprint is in your supply chain, you need to manage the supply chain to get to net zero. And what is true for carbon is also true for other ESG elements. Further benefits, a sustainability-linked loan can be tied to EcoVadis rating. Astor's debt financing of Corialis is an example. EcoVadis rating was the only metric used for this sustainability-linked loan.
And how do you think, Axel, ESG ratings will evolve as they become more widely adopted going forward?
I'd highlight the two most important developments from my perspective. ESG data will become more transparent, accurate, easier to collect and report. And with clearer taxonomy, ESG ratings will align over some time. Consolidation in the industry will foster that. Second, there will be a shift to include more and more performance information versus the current predominantly maturity assessments.
I'd like to say that in the same way that we don't really use the term digital anymore as this kind of extra thing that's over here, it's now kind of integrated into everything that we do, that in 5 years, it's likely that we won't be using terms like ESG anymore because it will be integrated into everything a firm does, because when you buy an asset, your strategy is to gain market share, reduce costs, be capital efficient, attract and retain the most talented employees. And the way you do that is by implementing these types of programs. And so it is going to be the VCP. It's not going to be ESG as this thing over here that we're putting into the value creation plan. It is going to literally be the way to create value in the future.
Absolutely. I mean, right now, it is an additional management dimension. And even for corporates, you know, that have been exposed in challenging industry like, you know, oil and gas and so on, mining. I mean, the ESG topic is around since 20 years, if not longer. And many companies at first need to understand it as an additional management agenda, including putting it into executives' bonuses, reporting on it, building ecosystems to problem solve, because one of the features of an ESG strategy is you cannot do it all alone. One element that will drive further adoption and make it more natural to look at the ESG components is integrated reporting. The moment every company publicly listed will show us a bridge that starts still with the shareholder value, but then shows what have they consumed in terms of resources and the emissions, maybe even the injuries that happened in production process and so on, and then say what are the benefits that they have created. You know, then we will get to probably a nomenclature or a taxonomy which is all encompassing. Hugh, would you actually agree, given that you're speaking to so many private equity firms, that private equity firms will accelerate ESG adoption?
I do actually agree that the potential is there to accelerate, Axel. I think that one of the problems many private equity firms that haven't really begun this journey in earnest face is that they don't know where to begin. As you yourself mentioned, there could be over 150 and potentially even more KPIs under the aegis of E and S and G. And so there are so many places one could go. It seems like a massive topic, full of complexity, full of muscles that haven't been fully developed. And it is easy to kind of wait and try to find out what others are doing, what's really working, where is value really being created before I jump into the pool in the deep end and actually do it myself. And what we're encouraging clients to do is to just get started. You can't solve every problem at once. You could start with the environment and carbon that you talked so much about today. You could start with DE&I. You could start with governance issues. But the point is, start somewhere. Start somewhere in the portfolio. Start somewhere in your own firm. Begin to measure these things and then potentially grow and go through across all of these 150 KPIs across E, across S, across G. But there is no perfect measuring system. There is no way to tackle everything at once. So our strong encouragement is there are practical ways, if you're focused, to get going and make a difference right away. The important thing is to be intentional and actually get going and create a results track record and confidence and momentum so that firms are confident that they can actually take on the entire challenge of implementing an ESG agenda.
And given what you just outlined, how would success look like in 3 years from your perspective? What would be your ambition for the industry in the midterm?
You know, many years ago, Churchill said we're kind of at the end of the beginning, and I think we are at the end of the beginning when it comes to ESG. The proof really needs to come from two things. One of them you mentioned, Axel, which is we need to see transparent ratings and measurements that show that these ESG programs are actually working. They're delivering the benefits that are being promised. Secondly, we actually need to see the returns that go along with that. And as you well know from many years of working in the industry, private equity is the longest running show on Broadway, if I can use that expression. It takes a long time for us to know results. It takes 5 to 10 years to really understand, is this working? Are we both doing well and doing good? Are we generating the kinds of returns that our LPs need? And are we delivering on our environmental, social, and governance agenda in a transparent way that can be verified, audited, and believed in by the wider community of stakeholders?
Indeed.
Axel, this has been a fascinating conversation.
Yeah.
It's one that I'd like to continue to have with you over time because I think this is a changing landscape, and I really want to thank you very, very much for coming on the show.
My pleasure.
I'm Hugh MacArthur. Thank you for listening.